righteous and mighty God that all we got to do is ask and He's going to give it to us. Amen. Aren't you glad you can ask Him for more this evening? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you can ask Him for more this evening? You know, in the two songs that we heard tonight, or the couple songs, I heard the word more. In all the songs that we sang, the word more, more, more. And God says, okay, you're asking for more, and I'm going to give you more. And it's going to come through the Word of God, and it's going to come through the man of God. And God is going to use that man to preach to us things that are going to give us more. You may be seated for just a second. You know, before I call Brother Alrad up, you know, I want to encourage everybody to listen to those that are preaching. This morning's service was so phenomenal. We had Brother Alrad preaching about tying up the net, and Brother Chavez preaching the gospel, the good news. I tied those together. I said, you know what? We all pray for the will of God in our lives. God, I want the will of God. But the will of God comes through the Word of God that is preached. And I got on the horn. I started calling people. Look, I need to get back to winning souls and calling people. Amen. And I'm thankful people came to church tonight. They're here this evening. Amen. And some people that I called didn't show up. But the will of God is for us in our life. Amen. What they preach. Hallelujah. So that's the will of God. We've been asking for more. Amen. It was just a couple weeks ago. I don't want to take Brother Allred's time. But I was diagnosed. They said, I went to the emergency room and they said, I couldn't breathe. And they said, you had a heart attack. The EKG shows you had a heart attack. And I said, what does that mean? And they said, if you did, that part of your heart ain't going to work anymore. You know, I was shaking in the emergency room. And I said, you know what? The devil always brings bad news. It's always the bad news. So I preached a message on Hannah, how, you know, there was something in her life that they were saying was dead, but God can make it alive. And I wasn't just preaching to the church, I was preaching to myself. I says, you know what, I'm going to preach because it is written, how beautiful of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So I am going to preach to the congregation, but I'm actually preaching to myself because I believe in the miraculous. I am a man that always believed in the miraculous. You know, I believe that we should preach on that a little bit more. So the next visit I went to the cardiologist and they said, look, you had no signs of it. Amen. And I said, I knew by the preaching of the Word of God that it was preached from the pulpit that God would say, I'm going to make something that was dead come back alive. And I said, that is you. And that comes from the pulpit. And that comes from the Word of God. Amen. Why don't we give God a clap offering this evening? Brother Allred has a message from the Lord to this church. Let's go ahead and welcome up Brother Allred. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 It's been a long time since I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm supposed to be retired. My wife thinks I'm retarded, but I'm not. Well, I may be. Praise God. Let's love Jesus right now. Jesus, I love you for your presence that I feel, Lord. I am so hungry for you tonight. So thirsty for what you're going to do, Lord. There is a yearning, a longing deep in my spirit tonight for what you will do in this church tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I hath not seen nor either ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been looking forward to this service. In fact, I was so looking forward to this service, I was so wound up about expecting church to start. I misread my watch. I thought it said 5:45. And I came out there and I thought, what's wrong with these people? It's prayer time. And then I went back and I sat down and it said 4:45. So I'm an hour ahead. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm excited about what God is doing among us tonight. Praise the Lord. Would you open up your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter? We've been in the 8th chapter of Romans a lot, haven't we? In church we have. You know why? Because that's the Spirit chapter. Hallelujah. It talks about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read tonight Romans 8, starting with verse 30 down to 32.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Would you just kind of pat yourself on the shoulder and say, God is for me. He's on my side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, the Lord is on my right hand. None of my steps shall slide. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, if you just can get on God's side, you're a guaranteed winner. But I'm telling you what, without Him, you are a loser. So I'd rather be the winner than the loser. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now my text is the 32nd verse. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Aren't you glad He didn't spare His own Son? He delivered Him up to Calvary. He delivered Him up to be spit on. He delivered Him up to be a crown of thorns crashed down on His. I've knelt down on a cactus and I didn't like that at all. But the crown of thorns and the stripes laid on His back. Said He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Now here's what I want you to focus on. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He didn't spare His Son and delivered Him up to Calvary, how shall He not with Him freely, everybody say freely, give us all things? Let's love Him one more time before we're seated. God, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Lord, I'm counting on You to move on us tonight. I'm counting on You to touch our hearts, Lord. I'm counting on You, O Lord, to move us in the direction You want us to go in this service tonight, Lord. Send the anointing tonight, God. Send the anointing tonight on this congregation. Send the anointing tonight on this preacher. I need You tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. I've been looking forward to this service since Thursday morning at about 7:30. And by the way, Pastor sends his greetings. He's on his way home. We need to pray for him. The highways are not good. Remember him in prayer. And he said he had great church this morning. Praise God. So I've been looking forward to this service since Thursday morning about 7:30. And that is, I was eating my breakfast and I called Pastor about something else. And he informed me that I'd be preaching tonight. I wasn't expecting to. I'm not enamored with my voice. I don't like to hear myself preach. There's a lot of people can do it so much better. But I am going to give my best. That's all I can do. But since that moment, the Lord dropped into my heart the Word of God for tonight. And I've been feasting on it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon. The Lord is present tonight. God is looking for us to worship Him. And I'm expecting some marvelous things to happen to some people tonight because of His Word and His promise. Keep in mind, if He was willing to go to Calvary to save us, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before Him despised the cross, despised the shame, What was it? Did Jesus not want to go to Calvary? He wanted to go to Calvary. Because the joy that was set before Him. And that joy was the seeing people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Lives changed. He was willing to go to Calvary. That's why the writer said He offered up His own Son. But then it goes on to say this. Hallelujah. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He could, for the joy that was set before Him, go to the cross, how much more, hallelujah, shall He by Him freely give us all things? I want you to let that resonate in your heart tonight. Whatever need you have, whatever problem you have, whatever situation you're dealing with tonight, whatever pain is in your body. I know there's some folks here tonight. I don't know your name. I don't know any whole lot about you. But I know there's somebody tonight. Right while I speak, you have pain in your body. I want you to know that He will freely give you all things. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now God is looking for something. God is looking for an immediate response. An immediate response. In fact, tonight, I know you're kind of resting. I wish you'd just move out to the edge of your seat. He don't want us laid back. He wants us moving out to the edge of our seat. There's got to be a spirit of anticipation. There's got to be a spirit. Come on. Hallelujah. Of anticipation. Let me give it to you from the Scriptures tonight. Praise God. The man at the beautiful gate in Acts 3. He had been daily laid at the beautiful gate to ask an alms of the people. Now that's in, you know, money. That's what he was there for. But the Bible says that Peter and John went up to the temple at that hour of prayer. And the man asked an alms. And Peter and John said, look on us. Was that braggadocio? No. God's got more from you than a few little coins in your little cup. Look on us. And the Bible said, listen to this, and He gave heed unto them. He paid attention to them. I believe the cup went down. When Peter said, look on us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that old boy's cup was down and his hand was up. And it says Peter took him by the hand and he leaping up stood. What is it? There was an anticipation. Nobody had ever said, look on us. Everybody reached for the purse or looked the other way, you know. But these guys said, look on us. We got something for you. And he began to anticipate. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But I want to tell you, when Peter said, we're going to give what we got in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, buddy, he was ready. He was on the edge of his seat. I don't know if he was on a box, a stool, a chair. I don't know if he was sitting on the sidewalk. I just know this one thing. There was anticipation beginning to bubble up in his heart. And he was looking, expecting to receive. And you know, he was not disappointed. He's not disappointed. I want you to know tonight, you do not have to be disappointed. I don't want you to look at me. I want you to look at Jesus. Hallelujah. That will freely give us all things. He offered himself at Calvary to save us. But he's going to freely give us all things that we need in him tonight. Amen. I'm talking about expectation. I'm talking about sitting out on the edge of your seat. And the man at the beautiful gate gave heed. I'm thinking about Peter. When Jesus said, put him in the boat and said, go to the other side. And that Jesus himself stayed on the land to pray. And the Bible said that they were in the ship And it got a big storm going. And at the fourth watch, I can't remember what that is, but it was late at night, early in the morning. It said Jesus came to them walking on the water. And they cried out. They thought it was a ghost. The King James says a spirit. That's what a spirit is a ghost. And they cried out. And Jesus said, "Be not afraid. It is I." And Peter said, "Now, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you walking on the water." And you know what Jesus said? "Come." I don't think Peter had to think it over. He didn't say, "What did I say?" That kind of man that Peter was, he's a very impetuous man. He was quick moved. Sometimes he said the wrong thing. Sometimes he said the right thing. That was before Pentecost. After Pentecost, he never said anything wrong. But you know what? I get a picture. Do you get a picture when you read the Word? I get these mental pictures. I can get it better if I'm a visual person. I can see Peter when Jesus said, "Come," I can see him with his leg already over the rail, the gunwale. I've thought of that verse hundreds of times. I've been on the ocean hundreds of times. And every time I go, I'm thinking, all of a sudden I think, would I get out of this boat if Jesus said, "Walk, come to me"? And I'm looking around, you know. But Peter didn't hesitate. How many times has God moved on you about something? I don't like this. And you said, "Is this really you, God? Is this just me?" How many times in service have you felt something that you should do? And you said, "I wonder if that's just me or the Lord." When you're in God's house, it's going to be God. And we need to be sitting out on the edge of our seat. And so tonight, I've been praying and seeking God. I know what He wants to do. I know what my Father wants to do tonight in this service. He wants to freely give you what you need. You don't have to wait another night, another minute. Right now, hallelujah, right now is what God wants to move on this congregation. I'm going to ask a favor of you tonight. A favor. When God moves on you tonight, I want you to immediately respond. Whatever He says to you, whatever He moves on you to do, don't sit around and think about it. Don't wonder if it's God or the devil. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." I'm going to tell you, Jesus is not going to tell you to do anything that is wrong. He wants you to respond immediately. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you do that tonight? Can I get you just say, "Yeah, I will, preacher." When God moves on me, speaks to me, prompts me, touches me, I will move immediately. Now, listen, I'm not talking about shouting. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what got in mind tonight. God's got something personal for you tonight. How many remember some months ago when Brother Langford came and preached for us? I think it was a couple of months after Easter. Several years before that, I had a lot of problems with my knees. I was supposed to have surgery on my knees, and I just couldn't bring myself to do that. I felt bad about it. And I began to pray and seek God. And one Sunday night in church while worshiping, I noticed that God had healed my knees. I couldn't climb stairs. We had 22 steps that went up to the balcony in our church. And one step to go up on the platform. I couldn't climb them normally. I couldn't kneel down to pray. I was in pain 24/7. I was taking pain medication. I'd wake up in the night in horrible pain. I couldn't drive very far in my truck. I'd have to stop and get out and walk around a little bit because my knees were hurting me so bad. And one day in my office, scripture came to me. And I'll mention it a little later. And I remember praying for myself. I just got down like this and I prayed. I said, God, you've got to do something. And from that point on, I began to thank God every time I had pain. I'd say, thank you, Jesus, for healing my knees. I didn't tell anybody else about it, just me and Jesus. And I began to praise Him. I began to offer the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name continually. And that Sunday night, we were worshiping. And it dawned on me that I was healed. And I thought, what's this? So I hadn't been even hardly walked, let alone even. Pretty soon I could get a little more. Wow, this is good. And then, I haven't been able to run in a long time. I just ran a few laps around the church during worship service. No pain. And I promised God on that day, I said, Jesus, you've had mercy on this old man and you've healed my knees. I promise you, I will take care of them, Lord. I'll be careful with them. I don't want to waste your miracle. And I praised him all the time. Last Easter, I don't know what possessed me. But it wasn't God, I tell you that. Just my old human spirit. We were playing softball, the church was, on Easter. You know, I don't know what possessed me. I thought I could get out there and play softball with those young kids, you know. And I did. I ran around, but I paid for it. I mean, to tell you, serious pain, worse than ever before. He said, well, you didn't get healed. Oh, yeah, I did get healed. I just was stupid. God don't heal stupid. And I mean, I was in pain. Lots of pain. My right knee, I went and had my knees injected. That didn't help. Next, I wound up in doctor's office, and I walked home. I shelled out $100. What Medicare didn't cover, I had to pay $100 in addition to that. And I got a brace on my knee. This thing all strapped up, had a hinge on it, and it relieved the pain, but I still limped. I wore it to work. I wore it everywhere. I wore it to church a few times, but it made my suit pants look bad, so my pride wouldn't let me wear it. So I just hurt. But I remember that Sunday night, sitting right there behind Sister Stewart. Brother Langford got up. And he just casually said, the Lord wants to heal somebody tonight. I spent 2 solid months repenting. I told you I'd take care of my knees. God, if you healed them, you healed them. And I didn't take care of them. And I repented. I'm talking about night and day. I repented. God, if you'll just have mercy on me and forgive me for being so ignorant. But that night, as soon as Brother Langford said, the Lord wants to heal somebody tonight, I said, that'll be me, God. Pow. I'm telling you, Brother Arnie, I felt, physically felt
Jesus touch my knee. I felt something change on the inside. I tell you, I felt it right then. I believe I came out of that seat. Why? Because I've been asking. He will freely give you all things tonight. I want you to know, you just got to start expecting it. You just got to anticipate it. You got to get ready to receive now. Not someday, sometime, somewhere. Right here, right now. I mean now. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 My job tonight is to build an anticipation in you that you will begin to respond to the Lord immediately. I've had the Lord move on me to shout. And I said, well, if they sing that song one more time, I believe I will. And they quit. So what had happened to me? I missed out on a blessing. I went home. I could have been feeling better than I was when I came. I could have had a touch of God that I really needed. But I thought, well, it's just me. I like music. It's got a good melody. But the Lord wants us to be in anticipation. Now, I'm fascinated with the Bible. Let me catch my breath. I'm fascinated with the Word of God. It has directed my life since I was 15 years old. It has shaped my thoughts. In fact, the Bible has affected my world view. I look at the world totally different than I used to because I look at it through the eyes of God's Word. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, I am fascinated with God's Word. Proverbs, the 30th chapter and the 5th verse says, every word of God is pure. There's no defilement in it. It's not tainted by anything. And the God that spoke His Word said, I'm the Lord and I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to know God's Word. You can grab a hold of it. You can embrace it. You can draw it near to you. And if you believe it, the dynamic power of God will move right now. Hallelujah. 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 And so God's Word, it shapes my worldview. I don't care what it says on the news. I don't care what the Muslims say. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what any television preacher says. I don't care what any atheist says. I don't care what any agnostic says. I don't even care what grandma says. But I do care that God's Word is pure. It's undefiled. It will do what He says it'll do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, would you with me turn a couple of pages in your Bible to Romans, the 12th chapter, and I want you to look at it. Romans 12 and 3 says this, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not just the males, but everybody, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let's get rid of that pride. Put it aside. But look what the next phrase says. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, let me tell you, I've been on a quest for several years. I've been around people and I've argued with them and I'm going to argue with them till the cows come home. I'm not moving a peg because I've done found out what the Word of God says. And that is this.
Some people say it is not the will of God for everybody to be healed. No, it ain't right. That's not right. Just because some folks haven't got healed. Well, I know this one, they're a great Christian. They might have been a great preacher. And they got prayed for and they didn't get healed. So we got to spend time, and so we got to pray and see if it's the will of God for this person to be healed. Listen. I don't want nobody praying for me that has to spend a preamble saying, "Now, God, if it be your will, heal Brother Allred." If that's your mentality, don't get near me. Don't even pray for me, because you're praying in unbelief. Now, you say, "Brother Allred, that's a pretty strong statement." I know it's a strong statement, but I've been reading through that Bible, the New Testament, and I have yet to find one verse that even indicates, Brother Ty, that we, if it's God's will to heal anybody or not. You say it all the time. Say it again.
Preach.
I am preaching. You don't have to worry if it's God's will for you to be healed or not. Brother Arnie, what would you say if I was praying somebody to receive the Holy Ghost? And I said, "Now, Jesus, if it's your will, I want you to give them the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, let me know if it's your will or not." Well, if you got any sense, you'd just knock my hand off and say, "Don't pray for me." Because the Bible said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I know that everybody that prays for the Holy Ghost haven't received it. You know some and I know some, but it wasn't the fact that it wasn't God's will to give them the Holy Ghost. It was some problem of belief in their heart. Either they wouldn't repent, or they were wondering, is it really real, or will God really do it for me? Are you with me tonight? We don't waste any time saying, "Is it your will, God, for this one to receive the Holy Ghost or not?" We just start saying, "God, give them the Holy Ghost. Lead them to repentance. Give them the Holy Ghost." Amen? Are you with me? Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His many benefits, who forgiveth all of our iniquities." And did He forgive your iniquities? In the same verse it says, "Who healeth all of our diseases." Do you get that? He forgives all of our iniquities. When I repented in an altar of prayer, He heard me. When I went down in the water, He forgave me all of my iniquities. I know He did. He washed me from my sins in His own blood. I never doubt that. Well, the rest of that verse says, "Who healeth." When you see in the King James, you got an ETH on the end of a word, that is telling you it is action going on. Who healeth. He keeps on healing. How many? Only the good folks. You better get to reading that Bible. There were people that Jesus healed that were way out there lost. Now bear in mind, the most important thing is salvation. That's why it said He forgives all of our iniquities first. But He healeth all of our diseases. I want that to be etched to your mind. It's Psalm 103 verses 2 and 3. You might ought to underline it. You might ought to pray about it. You need it to get etched on your heart. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that He has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Why don't you just claim it right now? There's some in here saying, "If I had more faith, if I just had more faith, Jesus is going to talk to you tonight.
right through the Bible. The disciples came to Jesus. In the book of Luke, it's recorded. And they said, Jesus, increase our faith. How many's prayed, God, give me more faith? Have you? Quit praying that prayer. It's not the will of God. So, Brother Howard, you're really on a roll tonight. I'm on a roll tonight. Every word of God is pure. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say to them when they said, Lord, increase our faith? Do you know what he said? I'll tell you. Jesus said, if you had faith as the grain of mustard seed, that's pretty small, buddy. God's words already said he dealt to every man the measure of faith. And Jesus was really rebuking them when he said, if you had faith as grain of mustard seed, smaller than what you got already. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea. And it would obey you if you didn't doubt. Jesus was saying, what do you need more faith for? Just use what God's already given you. I want you to know tonight God has dealt you the measure of faith. If you're sick tonight, he's given you the ability to lay hold on God and just respond to him, and healing will immediately come in your body. If you're hurting right now, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to know tonight it pleases God when you begin to say, God, I'm sick, I'm hurting, I got problems. I need you right now.
I've been blessed. I don't know where, well, it came from God. I remember when I was a kid in my church. Now, before I was saved, I was a devil. I'm not happy about it, but just talk to people from my home church. I was a devil. But when I got sick, I was taught by my mother, when you get sick, you call for the pastor, and he will pray for you, and God will heal you. Now, that's the diet I was raised on. And so I'd get sick, like everybody does. He never promised you divine health. He even said, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the death. But when I would get sick, I'd say, Mom, you got to get a hold of Brother Treadway. What's the matter? I'm sick. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. I'm sick right now. She'd call up Brother Treadway. Brother Treadway, Larry Jean is sick and he's calling for you to pray for him. Now, my pastor didn't say, well, just hold on the phone and put the phone up next to his ear and I'll pray for him over the telephone. There's nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't my pastor. He'd get in his car, he'd get dressed, get in his car, drive over to my house, walk into my bedroom. So what's going on, son? I'm sick, Pastor. I'm sick. Reach in his pocket and pull out his bottle of oil. Anoint me with oil. Pray for me. I got up right then. I didn't wait till the morning. I got up right then. I'm healed, Pastor. I'm okay. It was an afternoon. He prayed for me. I got up and went out and played baseball. He healed. God healed me. That's drilled in me. I can no more deny that than I can deny my name. Because the Word of God says, lay hands on the sick, and they might get well. They shall recover. There's two kinds of healings. Two. There's that miraculous healing, like happened to me sitting right back there. I mean, it wasn't 30 seconds. It wasn't even 5 seconds. I mean, bam, he healed me just like that. And then there's those healing when you get prayed for, and you recover right away. In California camp meeting a few years ago, after the camp, somebody came to camp meeting with the swine's flu. That's the kind of flu you just want to eat and grunt, you know. No, it is horrible. And the health department came and began to talk to some of the officials of our camp saying, what's wrong with you people, man? There's people with swine flu going home from Ventura, California. All over the state, people are coming down with swine flu. What'd you guys do? Blah, 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 blah. And my brother and sister in my church, they came to me. The brother did. He said, Brother Allred, we went to the health department. And the health department examined me, my wife, and my two kids. He's talking to me on the phone. He said, and they told us that we had the swine flu. And there's not a thing they can do for us. He said, we're going to be sick for 2 to 3 weeks. So just get ready. 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to be sick. And old Brother Tony said, what are we going to do, Pastor? I said, son, I'll tell you what you're going to do. I said, you're coming to church and I'm going to pray for you. That's what's going to happen. You mean it, Pastor? I didn't stutter. You get yourself down here to church. Now, that sounds hateful to you. But some people, you got to just be firm with them. And that was one of them, because he liked to argue. I said, Brother Tony, you get your family down here to church tonight. And they came. And they were, you know, it's horrible. They looked bad. He came up and prayed for them. In Jesus' name, we rebuke this swine's flu. Take it from their body. Heal them right now in Jesus' name. Nothing happened. They went back to the seat. They sat down. That was on Wednesday night. Sunday morning, they're in church. I said, man, sure is nice to see. How you feel? Man, we feel great. Well, I thought there was going to be a testimony. They didn't even say nothing. So I waited the next Wednesday night. They didn't say nothing. I said, Brother Tony, what did the health department tell you? You know, the folks that know all about it. They do. They know about diseases. They do. They study it. They weren't lying to them. Well, I said we were going to be to drink a lot of fluids, get a lot of rest. And we were going to be in bed for 3 weeks. I said, when was that? Oh, a week ago today. I said, are you sick? Do you have the flu? No, Pastor. We're all right. They shall recover. It was a healing. What do you mean? If they say you're going to be sick for 3 weeks and you're only sick 3 days and you've got the swine flu, it's validated, it's documented. And what made the difference? The fact that God said, if you're sick, call for the elders of church. Hallelujah. And let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. That ain't about right. That's right.
And so, you can test it if you want to. You can read the New Testament frontwards and backwards. You will never find a scripture where it talks about if it's the will of God to heal. If you got one, I want to know where it's at. Every word of God is pure. One place it says refined 7 times. Hallelujah. Not just once, but amen. Don't get quiet on him. Move out on the edge of your seat. Somebody, if you're hurting, you ought to be standing on your feet. I got Brother Baldonado ready right now. Get that bottle of oil, my brother. I told him to have the lid off it in his hand. If you're hurting right now, you need to respond to God right now and say, I'm taking you at your word. I'm hurting here or there. Come on. Hallelujah. He's looking for an immediate response. Hallelujah. God's in the miracle business tonight. He's ready to heal you. He's ready to deliver you. He's ready to meet your need. Let's don't beat around the bush. Take God at His word. In the name of Jesus, receive healing. Pray for that sister right there. That sister right there. I want you to know God's a healer. That's the way in Jesus' name. Come on, Sister Kellen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Got to step out of that boat. You got to be give heed, expecting to receive. You're going to recover in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You're going to recover in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, that's right. Begin to move around. God, I take you at your word. Is that baby's? Jesus, heal this baby. Confirm your word in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God has promised to do. It's not what I said. It's what He says. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Saints, stand in the congregation. Begin to worship God. Begin to glorify God. Hallelujah. There's faith operating in here tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Give thanks to His name. Hallelujah. Offer up the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of your lips. Giving praise to His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Is this child sick? In the name of Jesus, we take authority over this affliction, this sickness, commanding it to leave her body right now. That your name may be glorified in Jesus' name. 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 Receive in Jesus' name. Are you sick, my brother?